Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Are wise to pay attention to advice that's given by other people. Not every time that you receive advice is the advice worth very much, but sometimes it can be helpful, or it can provoke us to think in lines of thought that could develop into something beneficial for us. Sometimes people give advice in order to sort of rule and dictate and manipulate and such as that. Tonight I want to give some advice to our young people and to their parents. Yeah, I can assure you, and God knows my heart in this matter, that what advice I offer is based not only on the Scripture, but from some years of experience in dealing with people. And it is certainly not for the purpose of talking down to anybody. It's not for the purpose of manipulating anybody or rebuking and chastening anybody. But there are certain principles by which we ought to live. And the sooner we learn these principles and begin to apply these principles, the better people we're going to be. I want to read to you first from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and beginning with verse 11. And in chapters 12, 13, and 14, Paul was discussing spiritual gifts, the miraculous abilities that the apostles had and those upon whom they laid their hands. And he was emphasizing how that these spiritual gifts were going to cease, and he used this matter of growing up to illustrate how that the church in its infancy had these spiritual gifts, but when it matured and it had that which was perfect, which was to come, the whole complete revelation of God, that they would be done away. But there is the principle in these verses about growing up and going from immaturity to maturity. Something which all of us have to do. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's exactly what you would expect out of a child, is it not? And when I became, as I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, there came a time in his life that he had reached a level where he was to be mature. He was no longer a child. I would like to emphasize to all of us, young and older alike, here. Some people deny that the years of growing up are difficult years, and they look upon those years of development and growing up as being some of the easiest time of life. Well, I don't think it's so easy for the people that are involved in those years. It may look like to some adults that childhood, not having some of the same responsibilities and the burden of responsibilities that belong to the adult years, it may look like to us that they're just easy, simple, carefree years. But it's not so to the young people. When I was growing up, I remember some of the things that frustrated me was that one minute, it seemed like everybody took it for granted that I ought to know what I ought to know. And I didn't know. Nobody had told me. Didn't know anything. And then they turn right around sometimes when I thought I knew something, they'd act like I didn't know anything. And treated me like a child. Of course I was, but I didn't want to be treated exactly like that, I suppose. Dear friend, adult years have their difficulties. We know that. And we have responsibilities. And as we look back upon the younger years that we've enjoyed, and as we look at the lives of younger people, we're inclined to think maybe, my, they have it so easy, but that's not necessarily so at all. Particularly to the young person. They haven't matured to where they always know just exactly how to do and what to do, and that's no fault of theirs. They just haven't been around as long as yet. The process of growing up is indeed a process. It's something that doesn't just happen overnight. You're aware of that. This is something we all know. People are in various stages of growth. Our young people are in various stages of growth. And as I mentioned rather cynically, I suppose, this morning, some appear, give the appearance that they might be grown up, but it's pretty obvious from their behavior sometimes that they haven't grown up. In the physical world, growing up is more or less taken for granted, isn't it? I mean, if everything is normal and a person is healthy, it seems that the calendar is going to take care of physical growth in just a relatively few months and few years. Our children assume an appearance of physical growth. But being physically mature and being physically grown is not the whole story about growing up. That's just one part of it. That is only the growing up of the outward person. There is the invisible part, the inward man, that also needs to grow up, and that sometimes is a far more difficult process. I think all of us would have to agree, those of us who have passed the young years, that there are sometimes, not always, but sometimes young people place limits on their lives. And they place these limits almost as chains upon them while they are young. That is, they conduct their younger years, they're actually building ceilings over themselves rather than building foundations upon which to stand. Young people are inclined to sort of fritter away opportunities that those of us who are older might see that they have. But young people, let me advise you, when opportunities come your way and you just don't seize them, you are placing a ceiling on your development. And you are placing a ceiling on your usefulness, both to God and to man. And once these precious years of opportunity of growing up are passed, they're gone. And you're going to be thrust into an adult world with responsibilities and duties that are indeed far heavier than what you are presently undergoing. And if you don't take advantage of the opportunities that you have in your growing up years, you're not going to be ready for adulthood. And then you won't be able to discharge your responsibilities as an adult very well. And how is it that young people build ceilings over themselves? Well, they can build a ceiling over themselves in their schoolwork. It's such a tragedy when young people have the opportunity to get a reasonable education and they drop out of school. It's so sad when young people have the opportunity to develop their mind and their intelligence, and they're not doing near the best that they could. They get the attitude that to slide by and to just get by is going to be sufficient, but you might slide by and you might get by, but you built a roof over your head as to how high you're going to be able to go also when you act that way. A young person builds a ceiling over himself when he doesn't take care of his body. It just grieves me. Drive by our schools, the schools are coming out, and see how many young people will be smoking cigarettes. They're just destroying their bodies in the early years of their life and developing habits that could well cause their death and untold suffering and expense not only upon them but upon others as well. And young people, you can build a ceiling over yourself if you don't develop a good attitude toward life. And develop character. And learn about those things that really matter in life, about which we'll have a little more to say in a moment. I am persuaded, and maybe I wasn't as persuaded as I ought to have been when I enjoyed those years, and nobody enjoyed them better than I did. I'm confident of that, but youth is a time for laying foundations. I know I used to resent a little bit hearing the word, youth is a time for preparation. Well, I might have resented it, but it's true. In fact, dear friend, all of life is a time of preparation for the life that is to come, but particularly, youth is a time for preparing for a life by which you can prepare for eternity. And you ought not waste your opportunities to prepare. Youth is a time for getting basic and fundamental information. Youth is a time for building good habits, developing good habits and attitudes, as I've mentioned. Properly laid foundations. They're so hard to change when they're not laid properly. Someone has said it is so much better to build men or build boys than it is to have to repair men. And a lot of times people have to be repaired because when they were boys or when they were young, they simply did not take advantage of what was before them. So one advice that I would give, don't let your young years slip you by without leveling your head a little bit and seeing what really matters. You know, we have different measures by which we measure the maturity of a person. Usually, sometimes, it's according to how many birthdays they've had. Used to be 21, a person was considered an adult. Now it's down to 18, and maybe if it was raised to about 40, it would include some folks that think they're grown. But that's not a very accurate measure, the number of birthdays. That might be a legal measure. 16, I think, is when a person is supposed to be able to legally get their driver's license. I remember we were living in Mississippi when Bill came 15, and I said, oh me, one more year. And come to find out, Mississippi lets them drive at 15. And that was a blow. And not only that, he started driving a school bus on top of that, Brother Byers. And so I know it doesn't take much to be a school bus driver in Mississippi. But birthdays are not the way that you measure maturity, folks. And the size of a person doesn't measure one's maturity. Why, their boy is now 15 years old already, bigger than their daddy's. And that isn't a way of measuring maturity. Brother Turner's been the little boy around his house for a long time. Long before Lynn reached any maturity. But that's not a proper measure. You know, it used to be that somebody would consider somebody mature when they would put on long pants or start shaving or wear high heel shoes or get their first job or could drive a car or things like that. All of those appearances, that doesn't measure your real maturity. I want to give you some real elements of maturity, young people, and you parents as well, because you're the ones that's going to have to help your youngsters reach maturity. Maturity can be measured by the way a person evaluates and uses his time. Now, hear me out just a minute. Because some people don't expect young people to rightly use their time, but young people, you should. The Bible talks about redeeming the time. That means taking advantage of time. We have a distorted idea sometimes as to who is mature, like if you have access to the car, or you get to go out by yourselves, or you become sort of a hero in athletics or something like that, and you get the idea, oh, when I'm like that, then I have arrived, I'm a real grown person. Well, the older one gets, he soon sees things like that in a different light, doesn't he? And those things may be as much a mark of immaturity and the need for some continued growth rather than being marks of real maturity. Those who will redeem the time, take advantage of the time, use the time constructively, they're mature people. They realize that time is the substance of which life is made. And every minute needs to be made to count. And someone might be thinking, well, Brother Boy, do you expect young people to properly evaluate their time? No, I don't. And that shows that they are immature. Because when a person really gets grown up, begins to realize he has a limited span here upon this earth in which to accomplish the things that God would have him to accomplish. And therefore, he just can't afford to waste it and to spend it unwisely. How do you spend your time? I heard the other day that the average American spends 7 hours a day in front of the television. Now, I can see how that maybe one in a nursing home or in the hospital or something like that might perpetuate their illness by continuing to watch television that much. But how in the world can people who've got anything to do or need to do anything spend that much time before that kind of thing that comes out on the television? I don't know what you do. You know, we've got members of the church that know more about the soaps than they do about the Proverbs of Solomon. And I think I know why they call them soaps. That's exactly what needs to be used on them. The other day it was raining. I didn't get to do what I wanted to. And I tried to act mature and not fuss and pout about it too much. And I turned on the television. Morning television. And those talk shows. And Donahue. And Geraldo, or Geraldo, which is it? Some of these others. And I tell you, I don't know what sewers they go to get their people and their subjects, but they must have some big ones up there where they go to get their material. And that's what America is absorbing? 7 hours a day? Young people, you watch this MTV stuff and fill your mind with the absolute moral garbage that comes from those so-called rock stars. You're going to be, in your thinking, on the same level. You can't avoid it. Because that's what you're feeding on. And I don't know why parents sometimes have to have Congress to put in a special chip on their television to keep garbage out of the living room. Even Christian parents. You're not helping your child to grow up, and you're not entertaining your child. You're neglecting a responsibility to see that your children use their time wisely, because wisely used time is a mark of maturity. Another mark of maturity is, what do you consider to be really valuable in life? What's really important? What really counts to you? It's unfortunate that many people just go through life and they never really learn what is of value and what really counts. It used to be, you know, Sears and Roebuck put out a catalog. They don't do it anymore. I'm awfully sorry they don't. Because I found that Sears and Roebuck was a pretty good catalog to standard to go by. You wanted to buy something and maybe you wouldn't order it through Sears, but you'd go through there and find out, well, about what price range are these things going? They were usually fair. Well, let me tell you something, dear people. God has given us a catalog by which we can determine what is and is not of value in life. And it's pitiful how many young people just seem to think that, well, I've got plenty of time to learn what God's will is. You know, it's so wonderful that our young people are involved in such things as their Bible classes and the Bible Bowl and other such things as that. They're learning. They're looking at God's catalog. And from that, they will see what is a real value in the sight of God. They learn what is really significant and what is of just passing and temporal value. Relative unimportance. But let me give you two or three things by which you can measure also how mature you are. What is your attitude toward other people and your responsibilities toward other people? Do you think you have any responsibility to other people? What is your attitude, your responsibility to your home, to your father and mother and brothers and sisters, if such you have? What do you think is your responsibility toward your friends? For those with whom you associate, or maybe those with whom you date. That is a mark of maturity if you have the right kind of attitude. What is your attitude toward authority? Parents, authority is learned in the home. That's where it ought to be taught. those that do not have the blessing of being taught to respect authority in the home, they won't have it when they get to school. School teachers can spot it in about a half a day. They won't have it concerning the laws of the land. They certainly won't have it toward their authority or God's authority over them. An immature person sort of resents authority and feels like somebody is trying to push them around, but that's the twisted, immature, childish reaction toward authority. And how are you in your own self-discipline? A mature person, listen to me now, all of you, young and old alike. A mature person will do what a person ought to do, whether anybody else is watching or not. A mature person doesn't have to have somebody looking over their shoulder or watching them every minute to make sure they behave themselves. I sometimes say, sort of jokingly, somebody asks him, "Well, how are you getting along?" I say, "Well, I'm behaving when folks are watching." "Well, all of us probably try to do that, but you know, we ought to learn to behave all the time because God is constantly watching, isn't He?" A mature person doesn't have to be disciplined by somebody else. He might have to be instructed, might have to be advised, might have to be taught, but he doesn't have to be disciplined and constantly being corrected, because he learns to discipline himself. That's a mark of maturity. And no person is mature until he understands his responsibility to authority, till he understands he is responsible and accountable for himself. This is one of the grave problems of our whole society. It's been propagated by this liberalistic, humanistic philosophies that nobody's responsible. We can't help what we are. Circumstances that took place years gone by, that's what made us do it. Listen, I don't care how bad your circumstances was, that might explain what we do, but it never does justify bad behavior. And we're responsible for what we do. And young people need to be taught, you're responsible to God, to your parents, to the school or authorities or whosoever, and to the church. And it's when you learn to conduct your life in a fashion without somebody having to be on to you to make you do it. I've told you before about two of my school teachers that I had. I love them now. Then, whew, that was another story. Miss Anna and Miss Maggie. If there were ever two, one of them was about pint size and the other looked like, I don't know, what's that guy? Walked like this. She was about 6'6", I do believe. Looked like that to me, Miss Maggie. And they were tough. And every time I think of the word warden, they're the two people I'd think of. If I ever thought about somebody snooping, ready to pounce on you, that's who I thought about. Well, come find out, that wasn't it. They were really trying to keep me out of more serious trouble than maybe I would have gotten into otherwise. But you learn to respect people like that. You learn to respect authority. And you have to be taught to respect authority. It doesn't just automatically come. You know, when that little baby came into your home, it wasn't long. Well, some of you listen to this now. We were talking to the Craigs today, and we were talking about a couple that we knew. Their baby was about to come, and I remember the man saying, or the woman saying, one, and you'll get a laugh out of this. Maybe not laugh, but you'll think, my, how foolish. She said, that baby is not going to change our lives. We determined that baby is not going to change our lives. And I would have wondered, if I'd been there, I'd want to say, well, who are you going to let adopt it? You're talking about change in life. Why, that little bitty 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 pound, it comes in, and that little tyrant just takes over. Everything you do is dominated by that little thing. And they don't learn to respect you. You tell them, now look, I want to sleep all night tonight, and you think they're going to pay attention to that? We want to go somewhere, and you take care of yourself? Well, you can't do that. And they have to learn to respect no, and to understand yes, and do this, and don't do that. And that's parental responsibility right there. That's training the child the way that they should go. And young people, how do you respond to those sort of things? That's a mark of your maturity, or I should say maybe lack of it. And here's one, too, that you really need to think about. How do you react when you don't get your way? You know, slamming the door at home was not something that was very healthy for certain portions of the anatomy at my house. When I was growing up, you would never believe it, but I had a temper. I mean, one more temper. Why, some folks thought I was an Indian, I'd get so red in the face. Mad. I'll tell you something else, though, about that poor little old boy. He had an older brother and two older cousins. And if I hadn't learned to throw rocks and walnuts with accuracy like I did, I'd have been trampled underfoot. I had every provocation to be angry and to be mad. But I remember one time, Mother told me to do something. I don't even know now what it was. I remember some of the consequences thereafter. And I didn't want to do it. Man, I was mad. And I went out of that room and I slammed that door and the whole wall shook. That's the last door I slammed till I got grown. Because they applied pressure. Who was it? Was this Carl Bolden or somebody around here? I was asking the other day about how to raise peach trees, and I said, he couldn't tell me a thing. He's just a nurseryman. He didn't know anything. And I said, well, didn't you have peach trees when you were growing up? He said, yeah, but Daddy never did let the limbs get fully grown. I said, knowing Carl, I'd say, but that was you, Carl, I do believe, somebody of your disposition. But now, young people, how do you react when you don't get your way? Now, there are things sometimes you want to do, and your father and mother, who are a little bit older and have a responsibility of you, and they don't go along or agree with your designs and your ambitions and your intentions, and you may not always get your way. How do you react? Some people pout. Some people get mad, like I spoke of. Some people talk ugly. Some people try to retaliate. Some people just sulk. Oh, that's childish, folks. We have to learn to take things as they come, and we're not always going to get our way. You ask anybody of any years of maturity, they will tell you they have experienced that already. And the sooner you learn to cope with disappointment and not getting your way, that's going to be a giant step on your part toward really growing up. But one of the biggest factors about growing up is learning how to make decisions, and decisions you must learn to make. But you must learn to make righteous decisions. And you must learn to make wise decisions. And you must take a look at your decisions far range rather than just the immediate. Some decisions that you make may well determine the whole rest of your life. Now, you have to make, as everybody does, a lot of trivial day-to-day decisions. But I'll tell you, even trivial day-to-day decisions can turn you a certain direction, and you need to be careful even how you make those. And you need to learn to develop a standard by which you will measure how you will decide things. How will this affect me? How will it affect my friends? How will it affect my home? How will it affect the church? How will it affect others that are involved? You're not the only one in this earth. How will it affect my future? How will it affect my soul? How will it affect my relationship to God? And until you learn to make decisions on those kind of standards, you've got some growing up yet to do. You may well be on your way toward it, but you've got to learn to decide, and decide according to a righteous standard, and that standard is in the Word of God. I read this little piece one time. It said, and I quote, "In each boy or girl, there are a number of different selves There is an honest self and a dishonest self. There is a truthful self and an untruthful self. There is a kind and generous self and an unkind self. There is a selfish self and an unselfish self. There is an obedient self and a disobedient self. And on it went like that with a number of characteristics. And then it concluded, in the matter of growing up, is making the decision which self is going to be the real you. But I can tell you, dear friend, as you decide to be honest and truthful and kind and unselfish and obedient, you're making great strides toward real maturity. I want you to think with me of something said about Moses in making decisions. Hebrews chapter 11, we read, by faith Moses, notice, when he was come to years. One translation says, when he was grown up. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, there's his decision. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He made a choice. The world might have looked upon it as being a foolish choice. But he made a righteous choice. But when did he make the righteous choice? It was when he had come to years. When he had reached maturity. You have to reach maturity. And you have to, in maturity, make the right kind of decisions and put first things first. We don't expect young people to always be able to do that, and certainly with not great ease in doing that. They have to learn how to make decisions. And parents, let me suggest to you that you make a mistake concerning your children, and I don't have any hesitancy of telling people how to rear their children anymore. Because if I'm ever going to tell them, I'm going to have to hurry up. But you make a mistake not to allow your children to learn to make decisions and to make decisions. Give them matters about which they may not be life-forming and life-molding, but let them make decisions. Let them learn how to decide this, that, and the other. It may not always be pleasing to the parent. In other words, just, for instance, a trivial decision. Now, I think a child's room ought to be such where you can find the floor occasionally. But you know, children have different ideas as to how they like their room decorated. They'll not have anything in there that's ugly or nasty or immoral or anything like that. But why not let them help make decisions about colors and what might be in there? Let them make decisions concerning what they wear within modest limits. Let them help to be involved in making decisions concerning things that involve the entire family. And to show to them why decisions that you make are made. We're going to do this, son or daughter, and here's why. They're not going to just automatically know. You're going to have to teach them that. And if you teach them the right standards, they won't be making as many foolish decisions. Maybe they won't make as many foolish decisions as you made when you were growing up. But the greatest decision and the greatest stride of becoming mature is when one decides, I am going to live for Christ. They've been taught sufficiently to love the Lord, to respect His Word. And they're going to give their life into conformity with thus saith the Lord. Now, when a young person reaches that level and understands his duty to God and makes that decision, he's not necessarily a grown man or a grown woman yet, but they've certainly taken a great step toward their own maturity, indeed their own spiritual maturity. And young person, learn to believe in yourself. So many people are down on themselves. And that's a mistake. You count. You are indeed a very unique individual. There's nobody else in the world like you. Sometimes we'd be glad of that. But there's nobody else in the world like you. You're special. And you're special before God. And you count because... And understand your nature. You have been created, and you are in the spiritual image of God. A person certainly is not mature until they realize that he is both physical and spiritual. And in choosing the goals that you have in life and the purposes that you have in life, you've got to learn to believe in yourself. Have confidence. Know you can do it. Because you are a worthy creature. And it's not just because somebody tells you you're worthy. It's because you are a spirit being. And there's where the human dignity comes in. That's where you have respect for human life because of human dignity. I say to all of us tonight that the greatest need in our world is for more Christian men and women. And those men and women are going to have to come from our boys and our girls. Our greatest need is not more and faster airplanes. It's not more rockets. It's not better missiles. In religion, it's not additional creeds. What we need is better morals. And you are mature when you learn to be moral. And you learn to speak purely. And you learn to dress modestly. I tell you, if you don't dress modestly, you are advertising yourself. You cheapen yourself. You cause people to say, do, and think things about you that you probably wouldn't appreciate them saying, doing, and thinking, but I want to tell you, you're asking for it when you don't behave yourself in a modest fashion. You'll disgrace yourself, and you will destroy some natural reserve that you ought to have concerning the holiness and dignity of your own body, and that goes for both boys and for girls. Maturity is a person that doesn't flaunt oneself in order to attract attention, or in order to be popular, or in order to be accepted. You've got higher standards than that. And oh, how our world needs more and more Christians to counterbalance the tremendous flood tide of evil and wickedness that's in this world. I suppose every life has many red letter days. The birthday is always a red letter day, isn't it? The day maybe that you graduated from high school or from college or whatever. Some of us might be like the fellow that said the three happiest years he ever spent in his life was in the fifth grade. But eventually he got his graduation. That was a red letter day for him. The day you get your first job, that was a big day. The day you get married, the greatest day of all is the day that one says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and makes the resolution, that's going to be the standard by which I live, and He's going to be not only my Savior, but my guide in life. On that day, that you make a commitment for the way you're going to live this life and where you're going to spend eternity, that is a giant step toward maturity. There might be some young people here tonight that you would make today a red letter day by accepting the invitation of Jesus Christ. You know the way of repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. But after being baptized into Christ, whether young or older, build your life towards spiritual maturity. Listen to good advice of people who love you. Weigh that advice. Don't just cast it off. Old fogy stuff, mom and daddy stuff, preacher talk, this, that, and the other. I'm not saying don't listen to your peers. You live with your peers and your friends. But sometimes, young people, and I'm not putting you down, it's just a fact of life that you need to realize sometimes young people just get together and share ignorance. And you need wisdom. And those that love you and love your soul and love your life and love your future, listen to them. They won't always be right. None of us are infallibly correct in everything that we say, do, or think. But a wise person is a person that will give heed to advice that's based on experience and based on thus saith the Lord. People don't just automatically reach maturity. They might automatically grow up and be big physically. But there are certain principles you've got to learn and develop in order to really reach and be what you want to be, and that's a sure enough grown-up person. I sometimes think that our society has taught some of our young people that to be grown-up means that you curse and you drink and you swear and you carouse. And that's not grown-up. Any degenerate, depraved fool can act that way. and society is just overrunning with them. A real grown person is one who's going to walk in the footsteps of Christ, and I would persuade you to do that. That's the best teaching and best advice any young person can have to fall on their ears. I'm confident of that. It may be that you have once committed yourself to serve Christ and you haven't done it. Maybe in your older years you've recognized that you've wasted many an opportunity, but you're going to make the best of it from here on in. And you need to be restored, and repentance, confession, and prayer is the way to get that second start. If you're subject to the call of Jesus Christ, would you come?